Good evening.
Good evening.
We're opening a new book. Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav, Moro el Moed le'emor. Sefer Vayikra is not the favorite of the speakers. The speakers like more to talk about Bereishit, Shemot, Bamidbar, Dvarim. Vayikra, sacrificing, it's boring. The real truth is that Sefer Vayikra is very interesting, and we start with on the first pasuk already, the first word already, we have a problem, which is calling to us. Vayikra, a small aleph. So perek aleph, mila aleph, aot aleph, small. What's the meaning of this small aleph? There are a lot of explanations. One of the explanations is that Moshe Rabbeinu is showing us his humbleness. Because Vayikra sounds, wow, God himself is calling Moshe Rabbeinu. From the other point of view, when you call Vayikar without the Aleph, it's like what we said with Amalek. Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. Asher karcha baderech. What is asher karcha baderech? He met you on the way, but karcha is mikre, by accident. It just happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu, his humbleness, wanted to show, like, God is not calling him with a big voice, but Vayikar. Like Bilam Arasha also is Vayikar el Bilam. But the idea here is a little deeper, because Vayikra el Moshe. What does it mean? What does it mean, Vayikra el Moshe?
He called
through
Moshe.
Who called
Moshe?
Hashem. Oh, we assume it's Hashem. You assume, but it's not written here.
Okay.
So maybe an angel called Moshe, and then God talked with him.
Okay.
Because otherwise,
it should. Secretary called
him. Yeah, exactly. So because otherwise it should be Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. By the way, that's what the way it is always.
Amen.
So why is the reason that the Torah is saying Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav Moro el Moed le'emor? One of the nice explanations that I liked, Or HaChaim HaKadosh talks about it. He says, really, the Torah is not talking to tell us a story, as we all know. It's talking to us directly. Vayikra el Moshe. There is a whole discussion, how did God call Moshe? Was it in a loud voice, a low voice? Only Moshe Rabbeinu could hear it, because the one that we're talking about is Vayidaber Hashem elav. To whom? To Moshe Rabbeinu. So if it was a big voice, Moshe Rabbeinu was not standing alone there. But remember, this is like the opening ceremony. The Mishkan is built, and Moshe wants to go in, and it cannot go in because the Holy Spirit is filled up the whole place, and everybody's there. So then God calls Moshe Rabbeinu. In what voice? If it's a loud voice, why is he the only one that hears it? And not the others?
Because he's in a high level, and the others are not in his level. Maybe Hashem is calling us every time and we don't listen.
Oh, that's the point. What is happening here is Vayikra el Moshe, Shezor Ochaim HaKadosh, God calls us, and the one who wants to listen, they hear the voice of God.
The one who wants to hear.
Exactly. Yeah. Those who don't want to hear, don't want to listen, they don't hear the voice of God. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he wants to listen. So Moshe Rabbeinu hears the voice of God. Good evening, Erev Tov. So, we're talking about the small aleph in the first word, and Vayikra. So what we're talking about is that God is calling us. Unfortunately, we're not always listening. How is God calling us? So if you're in the Seder on Erev Shabbos, we always say the Mizmor Tehillim, Kol Hashem Bakoach, Kol Hashem Ba'adar, the voice of God in thunder, the voice in God, voice. The whole nature is talking to us. The other way, God is talking to us all the time.
Is he listening?
Of course he's listening, but that's exactly the point. God is listening, but the question is, are we listening? Because by Yikrael Moshe, what Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, that those who want to listen, they hear the voice of God. Those who are occupied with running after their own ego, they cannot. By the way, if you listen to yourself, you cannot listen to others. And that's exactly the same thing. If you listen only to your own ego, you cannot listen to the voice of God. In order to listen to the voice of God, you have to have open ears to hear the others, not only yourself. So, God is calling Moshe Rabbeinu. God is calling each one of us. And to understand it a little better, is what is the idea behind it? We go through life. And you know, daily life, we have our problems. Each one of us got his own problems and difficulties. And we're so occupied with the daily life that we don't really understand that God is talking to us all the time. And God is talking to us. Because the idea of this Mizmor in Kol Hashem Ba'Koach, Kol Hashem Ba'Adar, the voice of God is around us all the time. And it's a loud voice, but
I talk with him all the time during the day, but I don't listen if he talks with me. I know that I talk.
So now,
I ask everything.
So you did the first stage you did. Now let's try and listen to God. So how do we hear God talking to us? So you can see things in front of your eyes and you think, okay, it's not okay. Whatever happens in front of you,
it's God.
It's God talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You see an accident. You
wheel.
See a problem. You see you are in the middle of a storm. Whatever happens, you see somebody falling. You see somebody winning the lottery. You see, whatever it is, everything is the voice of God calling to us. The point is, we have to listen. And to understand what God wants from us. So how do we listen? What is the way to listen? Because all of us, at least those who sit here and come to a shiur, they want to listen to God. So how do we hear God? To hear God, you have to understand what you're missing. Because you see, in nature is, in order to understand what light is, I need dark. Because otherwise I don't understand what light is. If I want to understand what good is, I need evil.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Because otherwise I don't know what good is. So, Ta'amu u'u ki tov Hashem. You have to taste the taste of God, and then you understand how good God is. Tov li torat picha me'alfei za'av ha'chesef, says David HaMelech. The Torah is good for me from all the silver and the gold. Meaning, the physical world is very tempting. So, we are going with the physical world and we're missing the spiritual world. Which is the reason we're here, by the way. We have to combine both. We cannot take one apart of the other. But how do we do it? So we have to understand what we're missing. What's the idea about what we're missing? For example, my wife for many, many years used to clean the house by herself. And lately, Baruch Hashem, we got an Ozeret. And now my wife is worried all the time that Ozeret is not going to come.
Not only your wife.
That's life. But that's life. That's life.
That's why they laugh.
If you don't know the advantage, you don't know what you're missing. And if you don't want to know what you're missing, you don't desire it. But sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. It's got two sides. Rabbi Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzal, he used to say, and I always use it because it's so true, the accessories of last year are the necessities of this year. Mm. And how true it is. We live life, simple life sometimes, and then we start to elevate ourselves, and we're getting used to the good life. Wow. Wow, I'm not going to a restaurant every second day. No, I'm not going to be on Yom Tov in a hotel, 5-star hotel. No, I'm not going to go to the sales in London or whatever. Everybody in his own level. You know, it's sometimes you can laugh about it. But people that get used to certain thing, when they haven't got it, they really feel that they're missing it. It's hurting them. It's very hard for them to survive without all those accessories.
There are people that if they don't do $1 million a day, they cannot stand this.
It's not funny. It's not funny. That's why the Halacha says, by the way, you do gmilut chasadim. How do you do charity to somebody? It says, if this guy, the Gemara says, if he is used to go on a horse with somebody running in front of him, and he lost his money and he cannot do this, mm-hmm. a part of the charity is take a horse, put him on the horse and run with the horse with it. And that's somebody who said, are you crazy or something? But if
that's what makes him happy.
Exactly. If we will understand the nature of human being, we will understand how true it is. And the Rav Yitzchak Bernstein, it goes with me all my life. The accessories of last year are the necessities of this year. But this year I thought...
part of you.
Exactly. But this year I thought that it's not only going on the bad side, it's going also on the good side. What does it mean? Sometimes we are so occupied with a simple life that say, who we are to touch the Torah. Torah is accessories. It's something higher than us. It's not on our level. Try. And then you will understand how good it is, and it will become your necessity. So in order to make the Torah, which today looks for us as accessories, because we are simple people, what do we know? Go into it, and you will find out that you can, and you enjoy it, and nevertheless, when you stop doing it, you will miss it. It will be, and that's what we have to do. We have to make the Torah a necessity instead of an accessory. And that, unfortunately, that's what we do. We go with the other side of this thing. Like, have the nice life. And then when we miss something, oh, it's terrible. You know, like this guy's got this terrible car. Old car. Lot of problems. One day, the car breaks down. And he needs to get to a meeting, a very important meeting. Doesn't know what to do. His friend hears his problem. And he goes, you know what, hell, I've got a new car. Take my car. So he takes a new car, drives, wow, phew, everything goes so smoothly, very comfortable. He gets to, comes back, the next day he has to take his old car from the garage. He goes to the old junk, goes in, this is not a car. Wow, 2 days ago you were quite satisfied with the car. What happened now? You understand. You
saw the light.
You saw the light. But that's the way it is. So what you don't know, you don't miss. So in order to hear the voice of God, we have to understand what we're missing when we don't listen to the voice of God. That's the important thing. So how do we do it? We learn Torah. We do good things that God loves, and then we start feeling good. And we understand how good it is.
And sometimes better than the new car.
It depends at what level you are. Exactly. That's exactly the point. And it's not, you know, you're talking about each one of us can take something that he loves and put it in the same story, and we'll understand what it is. In Israel, people like cars. You know, sometimes even if they haven't got money to go to buy a makolet, they will buy this fancy car. Mm-hmm. Because a car means, that's what I'm a big shot. It's a status, an igever. You know, years ago, I used to have this Renault car, whatever. And we were going with my friends near the house and says, oh, what a simple car is this. Huh? I wonder who owns this car. He says, it's my car. But it's life. And you know, you can say it doesn't influence you. It influences you.
That's why you change the car.
Yes. Now also I have to change a car. And you know, you think to yourself, what should I buy?
The best.
The best or the best?
The best.
See, that's even the point. You know, I'm giving shiurim about being modest and thing, and then one day I will come with this...
this Mercedes.
It's a problem. No, from one point of view, it says, well, why shouldn't I enjoy life? Yeah. God gave me, I can enjoy it. But that's exactly the point. You have to do the calculation. What is right and what is wrong? And it's not always easy. But you see, when you start wanting it is when you go on a test drive and you realize, wow, this is sophisticated. You know, all those gadgets and all those things. If you don't know about it...
Too sophisticated.
You don't want it.
You can buy to your wife, not for you.
My wife hasn't got a license.
Really?
Really.
You know some people like that.
And believe me, it's better this way.
You think so? Then you
no, she's
drive?
Very... No, she's really very, very... it's not for her to drive.
The rabbit.
Yes.
But then you are a chauffeur, no?
Yeah, she's got a driver.
Then
well,
you're a chauffeur.
Yes, she's got a driver. Well, doesn't it?
That's right.
So anyway, what we understand now, that in order to listen, the best way to try and listen to the voice of God is to understand what we're missing if we don't listen to it. And that's everything in life. We have to love what we do. Because if we just do things because we have to do them, we will never... really hear the voice of God. And that's what the Torah is opening the book of to talk about sacrificing. But what's the whole idea about sacrificing? Korban. What is a korban?
Lekarev.
To get close to God. How do you get close to God? You listen to God. So sometimes what you have to do, what's the korban? You put the beast on the altar. You put the beastly part, your beastly part on the altar and you give it to God. And you use now your spiritual level.
But you know, you said something that is, you need to be closer to God, you need to love what you do, you are doing. You need to love,
It goes, it goes both sides.
But lekarev is sacrifice.
No, lekarev is to get closer.
To get closer. But
lekrav...
Korbanot is the sacrifice.
Yes.
To lekarev, you need to sacrifice.
No.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, well, yes, 1 minute. Okay.
If I love what I do, I am not sacrificing.
Doesn't mean you have to suffer necessarily.
Exactly. It's not. You know, to sacrifice something doesn't mean you suffer.
If you love
your children. Did you do sacrifices for your children?
No. If I sacrifice
for your children.
No, I do with love.
But you sacrifice yourself for your children.
Ah, okay.
That's what God wants. God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to bring the sacrifice with love.
I thought that sacrifice is to suffer.
No. That's why it's written in the parasha, not once, Reach Nichoach, Ishel HaShem. What is Reach Nichoach? A good smell. What does it mean, a good smell?
Reach.
You go in the street, you're very angry, you want to eat, you've got no money, no credit card, no nothing, and you smell the good food from one of the restaurants.
Then you suffer.
What is it doing to you? You're suffering.
Temptation.
You haven't got the money, you know, you see the steak. But you haven't got the facilities, you cannot buy the steak, you cannot eat it.
So?
From the other side, you come back home at night, and when you get closer to the door, you smell the good smell. And you know that when you open the door, there is a good meal waiting for you. In other words, the smell has to follow by something.
Has to be followed.
Because otherwise, it means nothing. So when God says, Reach Nichoach, he means, you, for example, sin, you bring a sacrifice. So what? That's it? That's it? You bring a sacrifice? Okay, I stole money. I gave the money back. So I'm okay now?
No.
Why not? I gave the money back.
Yeah, but you did steal, you made the avera.
So?
You need to make tshuva by giving the money back.
What does it mean?
Tshuva is to...
Sorry.
How do I do tshuva?
To repent.
Why did I steal? Why? What's the reason? You see, our problem in life that we look at the case, we don't look at the whole picture.
Maybe I have a disease.
Right, could be a kleptomania.
Why do you have the disease? For example, if I believe in God, 100%,
yeah,
would I steal something?
No.
Why not?
Because it says you shouldn't steal.
A little further.
No, because if you steal from somebody, you are stealing from God.
I'm stealing from God. Because God gave him the money, and I took the money from him, meaning with I stole from God.
Yeah.
But the deeper level is, if God gave me what I need and God gives you what you need, that's our belief. So I don't touch something from that belongs to somebody else.
Okay.
In other words, if I steal or sin, it means that my belief is not 100%. And everything is connected. So the idea of a sacrifice is, I did something wrong, or I want to say thanks to God, I'm going to change my life from now. And that's the good smell, Reach Nichoach.
No, this is
when the smell is showing what?
This is doing tshuva?
Yes, the part of tshuva. Yeah, you can call it tshuva, yes.
You take your sacrifice,
yes,
but you say it's not enough.
Of course not. You have to change your ways.
Change your ways.
What did you do? You broke sacrifice. You know, it's like I used to know a guy, and he was the export manager of a firm that I used to work in Germany, of office chairs. And one day we were sitting and he was telling me that he was very religious, Catholic religious, and he left everything. I says, why did you leave everything? He says, he didn't like the way it functions, the thing. He said, well, what do you mean? He says, you know, we used to go to the priest on Sunday,
yeah,
and says, Chata, avati, chatati, aviti, I sinned, I did this. He says, okay, no problem. Put 100 euro here, say Maria, Saint Maria 100 times, and everything is okay. He says, and if you want, he says, that's what broke me. And if you want, instead of 100, you put 200, and it's also it's going to be for being forgiven what you're going to do next week.
So you prepay.
You prepay.
You're going to be forgiven also for what you're going to do next week. But that's a joke. That's not the way it works.
You get a discount.
Yes. No, it depends. If you pay in payment, like a redemption for, if you want to be, to sin for 12 months, so you have a special offer. You get a special offer.
Yeah.
No. Two sins for a price of one.
One plus one.
And to see how Ave Maria.
We all understand it's a joke. That doesn't work like this. Because the idea, if you did something wrong, you have to fix it. How do you fix it?
The whole business of the confessional in the Catholic Church, it's more a psychological kind of thing.
Of course,
thing,
it's know, to calm down your conscience.
Down, right, and you just,
easy.
You know.
It's go on with life.
You sit down there, the priest doesn't see.
Okay, but we don't have to talk about the Catholic. We have
no, that's what I'm saying. That we have to understand that we are so different that it has to... Listen to the voice of God. God wants you to understand why did you do what you did and fix
change.
It.
Yeah.
But it's under the presumption that there's no intermediary in the Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
What bothers
you can have help. You can have help.
But what bothers me is where you have, you know, these rabbis
sometimes,
where they...
We talked about it not once, and unfortunately, that is why you have a selech harav. You have to choose the right rabbi that you know that you can talk with him, and he's really going in the right way. And because unfortunately today, everybody that learned, he says, like, I don't know if I told you, it's like, I think it was the Rabbi Eliashiv or something was going with somebody, also with another great rabbi, and they're going in the street. And he told him, look at something very interesting. When you are far away from the light, you see the shade? When I get close, what happens to the shade?
It disappears.
If I put it underneath the light, you don't see it at all.
Yeah.
Okay? He says, people get the light, here, give me. They get the light from the Torah, and they have a big shade. Whoa, they are big tzaddikim. A big shadow they have. They don't understand that they're far from the light. They got a little light. No, without light, there is nothing. Okay, so now they start learning, and at the first week, they're already geniuses. Why? They see a long shadow. But when they go on learning, the more you learn, the less you know. What did Shlomo HaMelech says? Shlomo HaMelech says, "Echkema vehi rechoka mimeni." I got wiser, and I see how far it is. The more I get closer,
the more you know, learn, the less you realize.
Exactly.
That's exactly
the point. So if somebody yesterday learned a little Gemara and thing, comes and tells us what to do, that's the problem.
You see, some people are scared to start.
You see, the thing is that we are looking for we have problems, so we're looking for somebody to help us, and whatever it is, we go on it. And this looks like the, unfortunately, people are abusing this situation and using us in order to make money, to make profit. It's like, you know, this guy used to go, I'm not going to say name, he used to go to this great rabbi, and he was a very rich guy, he used to donate a lot of money and things, and then he lost the money, and when he had the money, he just went in, and they just didn't have to wait. They took him into the rabbi. And when he lost his money,
he
had to stand there and wait and wait and wait. Oy. That's not the right way. Unfortunately, it happens. And this is what you have to know and understand. You know, when I go to a rabbi, and the rabbi wants me to pay, that's not a rabbi for me.
And
it doesn't matter who he is. Really, it doesn't matter who he is. There are a lot of stories about it. Like, they used to go to one, I don't remember his name, and this old lady came to him, very poor lady, came to him, wanted blessing for a problem she had. He says, okay, come back with $100 and I'm going to bless you. So she went and she managed to
collect
$90. She came back to the rabbi and says, I've got $90, please bless me. He says, I told you $100. If you're not giving me $100, I'm not going to bless you. Mm-hmm. So she said, you know what? I don't need you. I'm going to ask God to bless me.
That's
says,
exactly.
That's what I was waiting for. And then he blessed me. I don't need your $100.
But then I mind some people pay.
He didn't want the $100.
He wanted $100.
No, he didn't take it.
He didn't take it. Because
normally it will end the way you think, but this rabbi was a good rabbi. He just wanted this lady to understand that, as we say, we don't need somebody in between us and God. We can contact God directly, and that's what we should do.
I understand now this.
But unfortunately, a lot of people will take the $100 and yes, he wanted to teach her not to trust human being, but to trust God.
Yeah.
Also, a very interesting point when we're talking about sacrifices is that you're not allowed to sacrifice East